Do you know that nothing great has ever been accomplished without passion? You look at anything, secular or spiritual, nothing was ever accomplished without passion.
An Olympic athlete, a presidential candidate, a fiction novelist, each in pursuit of a different goal, each with a passion to achieve that goal. Hi, this is Dave Dino. What is true in the secular realm is equally true in the church. It takes passion to attain godly goals. If you lack spiritual passion today, if you'd like to get things turned around, then stay with us right now for today's edition of The Tide. Now, we'll get started in just a few minutes, but first, let's join Pastor Dwayne Pottinger for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, there are a lot of passionate people in the world, athletes, politicians, as I said earlier, grassroots lobbyists. Do you think the church has lost some of its passion? And if we have, why?
Well, Dave, first of all, let me answer your question, the first part of your question, by saying, yes, I do. The reason is I think we've been eating from the wrong sources that have taken our appetite for God. The sources that we have been feeding from, instead of God and His Word, of Christian fellowship, Christian worship, good Christian books, I think we've been looking to worldly entertainment. We've been seeking possessions. We've been longing for pleasures and comforts. And as a result of pursuing those things, we have lost our spiritual appetite and our passion.
Seems to me sometimes we have trouble generating the kind of passion for God that we have for other things. Is it possible to muster up spiritual passion on our own? I guess what I'm asking is spiritual passion a choice or is it a gift?
I think it's both, Dave. I think it is a choice based on the prompting of the Spirit of God. And I believe God's Spirit moves on every person. And so I think we respond to that initiative that God takes by a choice of our will, and then it is God's grace. So I think it's both. I think it is a choice to seek God, but then I believe God inspires us also by His Holy Spirit to continue to seek Him. It's what we do on a regular basis, though. I think we all notice that when we are sensing His Spirit drawing us to the place of prayer or inviting us to read His Word, we have a moment to make a choice. Am I going to sit down and watch TV, turn on a video, or am I going to go spend time with God? And it's those small choices that keep the passion alive. God is often calling us, but we're not often answering.
Well, it doesn't matter who you are or what type of personality you have. God has given you the capacity to be passionate. Now, how do you tap into it? Let's find out by joining Dwayne for the conclusion of his message, Developing a Spiritual Passion.
The typology, first of all, there's two pictures in this typology. The first picture is you and me being called to prioritize, to consider everything less than pursuing the kingdom. The first picture is one of you and me being the man or the merchant, okay, in this story. But there's a second picture. The second picture is one of Jesus being willing to leave the glories and the splendor of heaven to come and get the pearl, which is the church. Now, let me just unwrap that a little bit so you get the concept. Jesus left heaven in search of the precious pearl, the church. Just like this merchant went out searching and he's hunting for this pearl. And we see in this typology of this one searching, we see that Jesus, there was no price that was too great for Jesus to pay so that He could gain you and me. Jesus gave up everything. I also see that suffering was involved in Him gaining this. Now, I don't know how many of you know about pearls. Probably many of us have heard about a pearl, how it's developed and how it's formed. But think about this. We're looking at this typology of a pearl. Usually there is some grain of sand or a little piece of stone that gets into a clam. And it causes pain to that tender flesh. And so in this pain, it will begin to secrete this substance that begins to coat this harsh or sharp object. And layer by layer, it begins to coat this over a period of time. I haven't studied to know how long, whether it's days, weeks, months, or years. I'm guessing years. And this is coated until it is developed into a beautiful, precious stone. So there is great suffering involved. The pearl is formed slowly and gradually, just like the church. We're not instantly made perfect. Oh, there are sharp edges on us, and gradually Jesus conforms us, and more He puts Himself and His presence and His Spirit on us as we conform to Him, and He shapes us into this beautiful gem. The pearl is surrounded by corruptible flesh. You know, it's there inside this clam, it's inside this all this flesh, and it's being shaped into this beautiful, brilliant gem. That is a picture of the church in the world. Surrounded by carnal, corruptible flesh, the world, it's being shaped and developed. The church is being developed in this world. Another thing I notice is that these pearls, not only are they developed in flesh inside a clam through pain and difficulty, they are often developed in the depths and the darkness of the sea. There is the picture of the church being formed down where it's deep and dark, but there is Christ at work forming this pearl and shaping it. And then eventually, this pearl is gathered, brought up out of the darkness, brought out of that corruptible flesh, shined and lifted up and is exalted, honored, and glorified. He comes down to rescue us as this great merchant and this one in search of this great pearl. He brings us out of the darkness and He rescues us from this world, and He will exalt us one day as His church. A picture beyond the parable. Maintaining the motions of Christianity alone does not please God. Remember that He said to the church at Ephesus, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You have persevered and have endured hardship for a time. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Repent. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove you from the lamps, from your lampstand from its place. Now those are challenging words to us about the issue of our spiritual passion. I ask a question, and I'm asking myself when I ask this question. Why don't we have more spiritual passion? We could probably give a lot of answers, but let me suggest a couple of them. I think we have allowed the precious to become familiar. The Roman writer warned us. He said, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. We've lost the excitement of being a new believer and all the thrill that came with that. I think that's why we need to keep winning people to Christ, so there's a fresh excitement, you know, in the church. We hear fresh testimonies. But we've allowed the precious to become familiar. I think, secondly, we often in our journey want acceptance and approval. We want to be liked by others, and so we begin to conform to them. We are born unique, but often we die a copy. We die trying to be like other people. We're talking this morning, right here in this section, we're talking, why do we lose our spiritual passion? Third, we are in a society that has become passive. And that's being kind. That's being kind. We live in a society that is becoming aggressive, actually, against Christianity. Fourth, apathy tends to increase with age. Our passion sometimes is replaced with descriptions about our passion. We end up talking about the passion that we had more than the passion we have. And the end result is like reading from a cookbook to a person who is hungry. It doesn't do much for anybody. There's no substance. We end up living a simple life of survival. Daily routine becomes the same old thing. We need God to bring to us passion. Passion for Him. One more reason for a lack of our passion. People have no purpose beyond themselves. We get caught up in just living for ourselves. You know, our schedules are full. We have all kinds of things to do, places to be, people to see. And we lose our passion. Well, we need to stir our spiritual passions. And that is the purpose of this message today. We need to stir up our spiritual passions. John Wesley said this. Think about his statement. He said, "If I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I would set the world on fire." He understood the power of passion. Let me pose the question. What would happen, or what could happen, in our communities if we became people with spiritual passion? If we took this passion out of the services and out of our homes, into our neighborhoods, and into our workplaces, and into our schools. If John Wesley said, "If I had 300 people, I could impact and change the world," what could we do if we had a passion for God? I think sometimes we minimize our potential. We don't see the possibilities that God is giving us through Him working in us and the passion. Have you heard the statistics about the number of people and the number of dollars, millions of dollars, raised by seeing the movie The Passion of the Christ? Has it been a little overwhelming and shocking to you to hear that? What is it that's drawing people to see this? Yes, it's Jesus, but there's something in Him we see, and I would suggest to you, it is His passion. It is His passion that is driving and drawing and leading people to come to know Christ. I think the same could be true of you and me. If we would become passionate followers of Christ, they would come and look. They'd watch. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I heard this before. It's somebody in history who said, "Oh Lord, light me on fire so people will come and watch me burn." It's exactly it. You see, when there is a passion in us, it will shine out of us and people will come to see what's in us. Passion. Passion for Christ. Well, how then do we pursue this spiritual passion? What can we do? Here are several simple steps that we can take to stir up this spiritual passion. First, realize that God wants us to be passionate followers or believers. He wants us to be passionate. He's not jumping up and down in heaven. The angels aren't celebrating and praising God when we are just sort of going through the motions. I mean, in essence, He's saying, "Come on, why don't you convince me that you really love me? Convince me that you're worshiping me. Show me that you love me by your obedience." We need to realize that God wants passionate followers. Now, we don't have to be too imaginary to imagine what passion looks like. Have any of you ever seen passionate people in the streets? I don't want to take you down roads that you don't need to go to, but I mean, have you ever seen passionate people on the ball court, on the football field, in the football stands? I mean, are you getting the picture? Passionate people begin to demonstrate their passion. If we're not demonstrating anything about our relationship with Christ, does it not raise the question about the true or genuineness of our passion for Him? Should we be saying, "Amen, ouch, help me, Lord. Help me to have more passion"? Because when passion is inside of us, we can't hold it back. We can't stop it. When you have something good and exciting to share, I guarantee you, you can't wait to tell somebody. Am I right? When you have good news, you can't wait. I mean, I've seen people interrupt and trip over other people's conversation because they want to be the one to tell it. We should be the same way with Jesus. When there is a passion inside of us, we can't help. That's what the disciples said in Acts chapter 4. Remember, they had been arrested? for preaching. They were flogged, they were warned, they were threatened. You cannot preach in this name of Jesus. And in essence, they said, we cannot help but preach in this name. There was a passion they couldn't keep the cork on. Oh God, give us a passion for you that'll blow the cork off, take the lid off, and let it come out of us that will draw people to Jesus. Another step, we need to believe that spiritual passion is important. It is important, friends. Roman writer in Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual passion. Passion is important. Do you know that nothing great has ever been accomplished without passion? You look at anything, secular or spiritual, nothing was ever accomplished without passion. It's important. 3, I would encourage you to pray and pursue spiritual passion. It may not just come to you. You've got to seek after it. Just like these in this parable, the one seeking for the field and the one seeking for the pearl, they didn't sit and wait for it to come to them. They didn't expect to go to a Sunday morning service or a special revival meeting and say, zap me, God. They sought after it. An old Mississippi country preacher stepped to his pulpit one Sunday morning and prayed. Listen to his prayer. I love this prayer. Oh Lord, give thy servant this morning the eyes of an eagle and the wisdom of an owl. Illuminate my brow with the sun of heaven. Possess my mind with the love for this people. Grease my lips. Electrify my brain with the lightning of the word. Fill me plumb full with the dynamite of thy glory. Anoint me all over with the kerosene of salvation. And then set me on fire for Jesus. I think he wanted to be passionate, don't you? Are we praying and asking God for passion? If we're not, and the likelihood is we're not, I confess I haven't been praying it every day this week, and I've even been working on the sermon. I would encourage you, let's begin praying for a passion. Not a worldly or fleshly passion. Let's pray for a spiritual passion. 4, make Jesus your Lord, your Master, not just your spare tire, not just your raft. You know, not when things are sinking and going down, you don't run to your life raft. Not when you're on your journey and you have a blowout and you go for a spare tire. I mean, quite honestly, often that's sort of what Jesus is to us. You know, we're doing fine until something happens and we run, oh Lord. I want to encourage you, in pursuit of a spiritual passion, make him a priority. Make him your master. Put him in the driver's seat of your car. Let him direct your days and guide you in your decisions and what you do and what you don't do. You see, apathy is not a state of the mind, it's a condition of the heart. Make him the center of your heart. Put him on the throne of your life. Next, you may wonder how this fits, but you'll see it. Here's a step to restoring your spiritual passion. Get involved in ministry and use your spiritual gift. Now let me ask, I want to see hands on this. How many of you, when you got involved in ministry and began to use your gift, found that your passion for God was stirred? You started to find fulfillment. Your devotional life was increased. You got more out of coming to church on Sunday. You felt like you were living at a new level in life. If you want to stir your spiritual passion, make yourself available, get involved in a ministry, and use your gift. Another one. You see the verse there? Paul said to Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Notice what he's saying to Paul about this spiritual passion. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Huh? Do you remember what I said earlier in the message? Whatever you give yourself to becomes your passion. Do you see what Paul said? Give yourself wholly to them. Two more things. Hang around people who are spiritually passionate. Why? Because it rubs off. If you want to develop a spiritual passion, I'd encourage you to build friendships with people where, man, I mean, they just talk it, they eat it, they live it, they read it, they sleep it. Get around people who are spiritually passionate. It'll rub off on you. Remember the old saying? Birds of a feather flock together. You choose what your passion becomes. One more. This will help you to stir up your spiritual passion. Remember what God has done for you. That is not going to happen in a few moments. It's going to happen by meditating. It's going to happen by sitting down and reflecting on all that God has done. You start thinking about what He's done, it's going to stir up your spiritual desire and your passion. Do you know that when God was speaking to Moses as they were going into Canaan, Moses repeatedly, as a matter of fact, I wrote down, there is at least 13 times that Moses told the Israelites to remember what the Lord had done as they prepared to enter the promised land. 13 times Moses said to the Israelites, remember what the Lord has done in delivering us from Egypt. Remember what the Lord has done in opening the Red Sea. Remember what the Lord has done in providing water. Remember in providing the manna and the quail. Remember how He delivered us from our enemies. Why? Because He wanted to stir and rekindle within them this awareness and this passion for God. Because in our humanness and in our busyness, our tendency is to forget and to let our fire go out. We need to let God stir our passion. But there is a part for us to play. And I've given you 7 steps here to stir your spiritual passion. George Whitefield was getting people of Edinburgh, Germany, I believe. Is that where Edinburgh is? He was getting people of Edinburgh, Germany, out of their beds at 5 a.m. in the morning to come and hear him preach. I don't get up at 5 a.m. in the morning to go eat or to go do much of anything. I'm just not a morning person. He was getting people out of bed at 5 a.m. in the morning to hear him preach. A man was on his way, and he met David Hume. Now, David Hume was a Scottish philosopher, and he was a skeptic of Christianity. And this man sees David Hume going to hear George Whitefield. And so he says to him, he says, I thought you didn't believe in the gospel. And David Hume says back to him, I don't, but he does. Do you get the... Yeah. He was so impressed by this George Whitefield's passion that even though he was a skeptic of Christianity, he had to go and hear, he had to learn more. There was something there that drew him back. Oh God, set us on fire with a passion that people will come to find out more about Jesus. Ask God to give you a passion.
Have you heard the expression, use it or lose it? In many ways, it's true. If you have a spiritual passion, now is the season for actively pursuing it. As Duane said today, a passion ignored is a passion soon lost. Now for some final thoughts, let's join Duane and our director Don Schenk in the studio.
Now, Duane, what if someone came up to you and said, you know, Jesus Christ died for me, He shed His blood for my sins. I've accepted that. I believe. I'm a child of God. Why do I need to be passionate about that?
My answer to that, Don, would be that if we don't become passionate for God and His kingdom, we really miss the blessings and the benefits of having an intimate relationship with God and the rewards that He has for us waiting in heaven. There are several resources that are coming out that are really stirring a whole new awakening to the reality that God is longing to bless us. He is preparing and keeping in store for us rewards in heaven. And if we simply coast through life, basically maintaining the mundane essentials of Christianity, we are missing out on fulfillment, joy, blessings, not only in this life, but in all of the eternal rewards that God longs to give us in heaven. We can't earn His grace. Grace is free. but we can earn our rewards in heaven by what we do. And there are numerous scriptures. For example, even the cup of cold water given in Jesus' name will not go without the reward.
And I think it's also true that he wants that not only for us who are presently his children, but he wants that for everyone. And if we're going to be witnesses, certainly people are not going to be impacted by what they see in our lives unless we're passionate about it. And so I think it's very important for us to be passionate about our beliefs, to be passionate about having a close and intimate relationship with God.
Don, you know, it's interesting. No matter where I go, when I'm with people or even passing crowds, people are drawn to excitement. Anywhere there's a celebration, people want to get involved. And we're celebrating as well, aren't we?
Yes, we are, Dwayne. Once again, remind our listeners that this month we celebrate 58 years of broadcasting. There is still a world full of people out there that need to hear the gospel. And part of our celebration this month is not only to express gratitude for those who have carried the financial burden of, for this ministry over the past years, but to invite as many people as possible to join us in this ministry. We need partners who will not only pray for this ministry and support us in that way, but will also go the step further and send in financial contributions that keep this ministry on the air so that people not only here in the United States and those who listen to this station, but those who are listening around the world can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that they can hear a passion coming through and a passion that touches their lives in the way that God has touched your life, that they too can come into an intimate and personal relationship with him and can know that they have salvation and a hope for the future.
Mm, 58 years, 10 languages, one mission, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Thank you so much for being there and going with us. If possible, we'd like you to consider making a special one-time anniversary donation to help keep the tide on the air. A gift of any size will help. To make that donation, just call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. And when you call, don't forget to ask about our special anniversary offer, Food for Faith. You know, we can't come to God without faith, and we can't live for God without faith. But faith doesn't grow on its own. It needs to be fed. And Richard A. Bennett's book, Food for Faith, will explain clearly and concisely how to get the nourishment that your spirit needs. To receive your complimentary copy of Food for Faith, call today with your anniversary gift of $25 or more. The toll-free number to call is 1-877-859-5484. Or send your donation to The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For information about The Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, are you hungry for spiritual healing today? A big part of the process depends on you. Healing through humility. That's coming up next week on The Tide. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that is touching hearts on shores worldwide. Bye-bye now.